Welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving podcast. This podcast is supported by a grant from the Arthur N. Roop Foundation. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, Executive Director of SCRC, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Marta Rayon, Director of Government and Community Affairs.
Hi, Roberto.
Hello, and welcome. Today, we want to talk about caregiving, but today we're going to talk about caregiving from a working caregiver's perspective, and even more specifically, from a female caregiver's perspective. And this is important because when we think of caregiving, we often think of an older a spouse, usually female, caring for an aging spouse as well. But things are actually changing. At SCRC, we're seeing a big change in today's caregiver. The majority of our caregivers, actually over 50% now, are caregivers ranging from the age of 45 to 56, which is actually consistent with national statistics of today's new caregiver. So I wanted to talk about this topic. And of course, we have Marta, who of course is professional, working female, and has also been a caregiver and has experienced a lot of the challenges of being a caregiver. So tell us about your experience, Marta.
Thank you, Roberto. It's really been an interesting experience when I look back on being a caregiver, a working caregiver, and like you say, a woman who's in this role. And what I find interesting is that when I look around at my classes, talking to other caregivers, they tend to be the woman who has this responsibility in their family. It almost seems like that is a given, that if they are the sister, that's who the responsibility of caregiving is going to go to. And I found myself in that same situation when I became a caregiver. And it's really, I don't know if it's societal where we expect our daughters to do that, because I see that, especially in the Latino culture.
Yeah, and the other piece of that is that oftentimes there's a lot of family members, but not everybody steps up to the plate. And, it tends to be the daughter that kind of steps up. And not always, because we do have a lot of male caregivers as well. But even nationally, statistically, it's the female, who now, again, working female, who is the primary caregiver for most cases.
I remember a caregiver in one of my classes who came up to me afterwards and she said, you know, I am a nurse. That's my background. That's my training. And there are three of us siblings, but I'm the only daughter. And it is a given, because I have this nursing health background, that I should be the one to step into this role and care for mom and dad. And she did it because she loves her parents and because she has that ability to do that. But she said, you know, they could also do it. It's almost like a default mechanism that we sometimes employ, that, oh, you're the one that has the health background, then you go ahead and do that. You know better.
And how, I mean, it's got to be really challenging, because you're balancing a lot of things. You're balancing your profession, your work. You're balancing your family, your children, the community, the kids' school activities and sports, and other things that they might be involved in.
And the dog and the cat and the house.
And the dog and the cat and the house. And then your, self-care.
What is that?
Dare I say, self-care.
What is that?
Taking care of yourself. Sleeping.
And, I'm laughing because I think when I was a caregiver, those were the things that went by the wayside. And I know I hear that from a lot of caregivers. I don't have time for self-care. I don't have time to sleep, much less to eat or read a book. And I know that when I became a client of SCRC, because this organization was just so wonderful in helping me through this time, is that I had to learn to modify my behavior, but also modify my expectations, that it didn't have to all fall on me. And I think that as a mom, as a working professional, as a caregiver, we just figured it's got to be me. I have to do it. This is my expectation. This is my lot in life. This is what I need to do. And then we kind of fall into this vicious cycle of I'm stressed, I'm burdened, I can't deal with it, it's too much.
Well, and that seems to be the case across the board when you're a family caregiver, how overwhelming the responsibility gets. I mean, I know that, and I've said this before, that people get into caregiving, individuals, family, out of love, out of guilt, out of just commitment or just wanting to help, mm-hmm. but often don't think about the longitudinal part of this this responsibility, you know, becoming a caregiver, thinking, oh, I can handle it. I can handle things. And 2 years pass by, three. Now you're talking about 10 years.
10 years, yes.
And the toll that it takes on the individual caregiver, emotional, physical, and financial toll.
I know I've heard you say before that it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Right.
But I think when you find yourself in it, and maybe some people out there might agree, that you just are living in that experience, right? In that situation, how can I fix it right now? But then you don't think about the long-term effects. Like you said, financially, even having to manage. When I became a caregiver to my aunt, I was pregnant. So as much as I wanted to focus on having this baby and how I was going to be, I was right now focused on she needs to eat and get her shower. And what am I going to do tomorrow when she doesn't want to get up and I have to go to work? And so it was almost like all these long-term plans get put on hold for the immediate situation that is at hand.
How did that make you feel as the sole primary caregiver? I wouldn't say sole because you had a little bit of help.
Yes,
but primary caregiver from the standpoint of did you become isolated? Did you become depressed? Did you? I mean,
yes, and I guess here's a little look into my soul. I did. I was fortunate enough that I had my brother who was able to help me long distance. Mm-hmm. And kind of be my sounding board when I was stressed and I was just feeling overwhelmed. And I really did make him, that was his job. I would tell him, if I call you and I need to vent, just don't take it personally. I just need somebody to listen. And he was that person. My husband was also very helpful in trying to accommodate and help me with things around the house or logistically, you know, setting up ramps and things around in the home. But I think it was the emotional aspect of it that is really difficult for somebody else to help you. It has to come from within. It has to come from you. So when I was in that situation, I did feel very isolated. I know I keep saying sometimes I was in a room full of people feeling alone because it's almost like I had to put on this, you know, facade. I was at work, so I had to be professional. I was with in public, and I had to act a certain way. And, you know, I was with my children, and I had to be the mom and be responsible. And so then when do you have time to just kind of be introspective? And I did lose some friends. I became very isolated because they would invite me to their children's birthday parties. Everybody was starting to have children at the same time. And I couldn't go because I had my aunt, and I wasn't going to take her to a children's birthday. She had dementia, and she was elderly, and she was, you know, it was too much for her.
Having behavioral kind of.
Well, it was uncomfortable for her. I was going to drive 2 hours to
right.
Los Angeles for a party, and so I often declined. And what do you think started happening?
They stopped inviting.
Exactly.
You.
Right. So then I didn't have someone that I could turn to and kind of say, hey, how's it going? Let's talk about, you know, the movie that you saw. I couldn't do that. And it is, I get it when I talk to caregivers that they say, well, that's how I'm feeling right now. And that's why I tell them, make sure you reach out to SCRC because we get it. We've been there, whether it's personally or just in our training. We know that we can be a source of help for you.
Well, and I'm sure now as the lead educator for SCRC as well out in the community, along with all your other responsibilities, that you're often asked, Martha, what can I do to help reduce the stress, the burden of being a caregiver?
I have a very quick answer for that. Don't be a caregiver.
but sometimes, that's not the reality.
I know, I'm kidding. Obviously, being a caregiver is a very stressful but noble thing that people do.
I mean, there should be a Surgeon General saying,
warning,
being a caregiver is bad
for your health. Yes, absolutely.
And really, that's based on even data, statistics. I mean, people who are caregivers, individuals who are family caregivers, especially with diseases like Alzheimer's, which is chronic, degenerative, debilitating,
long-term,
up to 60% of those individuals will suffer from clinical depression. Mm-hmm. And not to mention all the physical problems that you develop either out of self-neglect or just not taking care of yourself as well, developing hypertension, and other conditions that are, detrimental to your health.
And I also have found that in talking to other caregivers and my own experience, women internalize a lot of these stressors because we put it on ourselves that it has to be taken care of. We have to do everything. And I'm not going to ask for help because it's a sign of weakness. Or what are they going to say if I can't take care of my, mom? So we internalize a lot of that stress, and then it becomes secondary, situation where we are falling ill ourselves. So my recommendation is, if you are a caregiver, that you ask for help, that you find ways to really seek those resources, give us a call, get connected, because there's something also about community. And sometimes we forget, and we might not even think about that. I really realized it afterwards that it's being in that communal environment with other people who are like-minded, going through the same challenges that you are, that it helps you figure things out in a different light. You know, if I'm talking to you, and you're also talking about being a caregiver, you're caring for your parents, and I'm caring for whoever it is I'm caring for, then you start to connect, and you start to have this bond, and you might have some tips for me or some suggestions, and now I feel connected. You might not be my friend, initially. I might not even know who you are. I just met you. But initially, we just have to take that step.
And that's why I think support groups are so important for family members who are caregivers. I think, for one, like you were saying, they help identify that they're not the only one going through all of these challenges. And support groups are really great because you're in a situation where you're not being judged, where everybody kind of gets it and understands what you're coming from. And like you said, sometimes even have their own tips, because many of them are in different phases of being a caregiver, so that they can give you advice along the way. And I know that at Southern Caregiver Resource Center, we have a number of support groups, and they're professionally facilitated by our master's level clinical team. And so people should definitely connect to support groups. They're wonderful. And like you said, it helps with that isolation and helps with not being alone in that room full of people.
Exactly. And I remember once I was doing a presentation. I was talking about seeking help and asking others for assistance. And I remember this lady came up to me afterwards and she said, you talk about all this and it sounds wonderful, but I'm the only child. So it does fall on me. There is no one there's no family members that I can rely on to help me. She didn't have any children either. And it was hard for her to understand that family is not just blood, right? It's not just that person that you're related to, but it could be a friend. It could be a neighbor. It could be a colleague. It's that familial bond that you can develop with someone over time. Even people that have best friends, they're like sisters or brothers, etc. It's the same idea. It's just that we have it in our head that it's got to be within the family. And I found myself in that situation because I am the oldest of five children. Mm-hmm. And when I kind of stepped into this role, I thought, okay, well, we can figure this out, right? We're smart. I can go online. I can pick up a brochure. I can make a call, and we'll just divvy up the responsibilities and, just everybody take a piece of the pie and we'll put it together. And that was not the case.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I saw a saying a friend of mine has in his home, and it says, friends are the family you get to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes so much sense from exactly what you're talking about. You know, it doesn't have to be a relative. It can be other people involved in your life that are helping in different ways. And that's the other thing. You know, when we talk about being a caregiver, often we think about the person who's doing the heavy lifting, the changing, the bathing, the help with the hygiene, the feeding, the cooking. But there's a lot of different roles for being a caregiver. The person who does makes the appointments for the doctors, who provides the transportation to the doctor's visits, mm-hmm. who might come by and do laundry once a week.
I remember a caregiver I was talking to recently, and he was, he didn't know he was a caregiver. And he came up after
the other problem.
Yeah, the other problem, right? Not recognizing that you're a caregiver. He came up to me after my presentation, and he says, you know, I'm trying to get information from my sister. She cares for my mom, and she lives with her, and pretty much she was the full-time caregiver. And so I started talking to him, and quickly, you know, realized, well, he's involved too. He is also a caregiver. He's just what we consider a long-distance caregiver. And when I tried to explain that to him, he said, no, I'm not a caregiver. I'm just helping my sister. And so that disconnect between caregiving and finding himself in that role also is a problem, because then the responsibility gets put on the sister. You are the caregiver.
Right.
You are handling it all. I'm just going to get a brochure and send it your way, instead of him maybe saying, hey, I think I'm a caregiver too. How can I get involved? I don't have to do the same things. I don't have to bathe her. I'm not living there. I'm in another state, clearly.
Right.
But there are other things I could do, like you mentioned earlier.
So how important, Martha, when you were a caregiver, was it to develop a care plan? I mean, because I know you reached out to SCRC,
yes.
and you had a family consultant working with you. And did that help you as a professional woman working and doing, having all these responsibilities?
Well, I think the final decision was made when I was working at an organization that was primarily women, where it was a healthcare focused agency, and I was in a similar position in terms of advocating, educating, mm-hmm. you know, talking to the community. But I found that when it came down to me, that was not reciprocated. That attention, that understanding, that empathy was not there for me. So it was very difficult to kind of be in this role and then not be able to access that information for myself.
Right.
And so I found it, finally I figured, okay, well, I'm going out and doing all these classes, what about, you know, listen to yourself, you know, listen to what you're saying.
Right.
Maybe you need to acquire some of these skills or tips. And so I reached out to Southern Caregiver Resource Center. And at first I was a little hesitant because I thought, okay, how embarrassing. Can I not figure this out on my own?
Right.
But I've never been a caregiver. I've never been in this position. There is no manual that says, oh, you're a caregiver. Here, you know, flip to page 6 and start your, you know, road to successful caregiving. So I reached out to SCRC, and I remember what was really striking was that here was this person across the table listening to me. No judgment, no criticism, even though I felt that this person was going to do that, because how embarrassing, I'm complaining about my caregiving role, which I took willingly and nobody's paying me for. And she listened to me. So it was really about me changing my perspective, changing the expectations, working a little step at a time. Like you say, it's a marathon.
Right.
It was that daily training. And I still, I mean, you still don't become the perfect caregiver. We're human. We're going to err. We're going to make mistakes.
Right.
But it was, that's what it took for me to reach out.
And it's really interesting because I know a lot of family members wait to the last minute to reach out for help and until they just can't take it anymore, or they've had their own tipping point. But the reality is the sooner you get connected to SCRC, the sooner you get to meet with that professional, the sooner you get to start assessing what your needs are.
And that's the key, assessing.
And prioritizing mm-hmm. what you should have in place now, and then have the opportunity as things change to continue to have those conversations and make adjustments to your life, basically, and even teach you how to work with extended family or family that you might have to provide that assistance. Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. I want to thank Martha for co-hosting and sharing her story for another stimulating discussion about caregiving. And I want to remind our audience out there that if you are providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength. Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. And finally, I want to invite all our audience to join us at our first ever Sounds of Summer benefit concert on Saturday, August 25th at the House of Blues. Just go to our website and you can get your tickets there. And remember, SCRC is here for you.
Caring for those who care for others.
Thank you.